Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Volmig with you guys here, heading into the 8 o'clock hour. A lot still to get to. Get a grip coming up in an hour's time. Cameron Justice going to be joining us at 9:20. Plenty of Cavs still to talk coming up to end out the 8 o'clock hour as well. But for right now, let's get to the most pressing things said by our station's guests today. Let's do it with the station buzz. All right, let's keep the Cavs talk rolling here. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, joining Baskin and Phelps today, talking about Darius Garland's injury and his concern for it.
And now there's a legitimate question about, okay, even if he does play at some point during this series, maybe even Tuesday night, how effective can he be playing through this particular injury? And a toe is going to bother him. He's got swelling in there, there's pain, and every time he makes a sharp movement, he feels it. So, I mean, you're playing against a legitimate threat to you getting to the conference finals. You're playing against a team that is battle-tested, that went to the conference finals last year, that is the fastest team in the NBA. Like, all of the stress that Darius is going to put on that toe, even if he does suit up, there's a legitimate question about how effective he can be and whether or not he can be the all-star caliber player that he was during the regular season for the Cavs, and the guy that, you know, was having a great playoff run in the first two games against Miami.
Obviously, since earlier today, I think a lot more of the major concern for me falls on the Evan Mobley injury. I just think you got to get at least two of the three guys healthy that are in there right now. And to me, one of those guys does have to be Darius. I looked at the way that the offense functioned last night. I don't know that Darius fixes every single one of your problems. There was just so much iso ball played within that game. Then I look at it and I go, all right, if Darius is on the floor, how much iso ball are they playing? Like, it's not going to have to be the third quarter run over where it's, all right, Donovan has to do it and he's the only one getting anything done. So it has to be Donovan Mitchell takeover. And the problem is when Donovan does that in the third quarter, we're talking about, well, Donovan looks tired. He doesn't look like, you know, you sort of see him, hunched over, trying to catch his breath throughout that final quarter of play. It's like, well, guys, yeah, he just expended all of his energy in the third quarter to get you back into this game. What should have been, okay, now that Donovan got us back in the game, we can go back to playing our brand of basketball. And I just don't think they really did that. I think they put Darius in there. He can at least have Donovan, okay, here we go. Let's have somebody else run point. Let's have somebody else be able to swing the ball and get the offense moving. And they just didn't have that. It was a lot of iso ball from Ty Jerome while he had the ball in his hands. And it just continued over and over again. The Cavs really, throughout the second half, did not move the ball and run an actual offense for most of it. They just isolation with Donovan, isolation with Ty Jerome, get those guys the ball, and they pretty much just try to take it to the hole every single time themselves. At least that was the feeling that I got watching it. It obviously wasn't reality, but it was pretty darn close. Wasn't that far off. Let's keep talking Cavs here. Daryl Ryder, our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter, on with Ken and Anthony this morning. Talked more on DG and the Cavs' chances of going all the way if he wasn't there.
I hope last night shut up all the Cavs don't need get Darius Garland people that are out there. They need Darius Garland. They're not winning a championship without the kid. I don't know where that came from. That thought process that a vocal minority of fans seems to have just boggles my mind.
Yeah, if we're out here saying that, and this was a conversation, obviously, at the end of last week regarding the Cavs, whether or not you're actually better with Ty Jerome without DG on the floor, it's absolutely ridiculous. You get Darius Garland from the playoffs last year, might be a conversation that you might be better with him not on the floor than on the floor. The Darius Garland that we've seen all year is clearly an upgrade on this team and allows the offense to function the way it's supposed to function. Without it, you get Donovan Mitchell having to take over, constantly bring up the basketball, and run the offense through him, which you saw last night leads to, oh, Donovan has to take over. Donovan has to do everything on the offense, and he feels like he has to be the hero. Believe it or not, having Darius alongside of him has made it feel like, okay, I just think it's one of those things that when he's out there, it's easier for Donovan to understand, okay, I need to take the lesser role. Everything we've sort of applauded Donovan for doing all year long, taking a back seat to things, still being the best player on the floor, but not necessarily having to go out there and prove that every time he's out there, sacrificing the stats in order to hopefully get wins, it felt like it all went away. I mean, he was 1 of 11 from 3. He was putting up his best Tyler Hero impression from beyond the arc. And he was better from inside, but again, you gassed yourself out in the third quarter. It just did not look absolutely incredible. He's dying to have, I think, Darius back out there, as is this team. And at this point where we stand with injuries, yeah, I think it's pivotal for Darius to be back in order for this team to actually have a shot to go and win this series. At least at some point, whether it's game 3, game 2, I think before game 4 gets here, you got to see Darius back on the floor. Nick and JP had Joe Vardon of The Athletic on today, covers the NBA for The Athletic, and said that he's concerned not only about the guys listed by Kenny Atkinson, but Donovan Mitchell too.
My initial thought was there's sometimes in this league where you have to fight really hard to get back in a game, and the Cavs did that, and then you just kind of run out. I am told that they think Donovan will be all right, that he'll be a go for tomorrow, but the injury report isn't technically out yet, so we can still see what happens there. You know, I'm concerned. And if this were a regular season game, I think there'd be real questions if Donovan would be out there the next night.
This is sort of the difference for me, though. Like, Donovan, and again, I don't know the extent of the injuries, but you hear Donovan might be banged up, but they think he'll be all right to go. It's almost like, yeah, there's no way I'm not going. I mean, for Donovan, I get the ankles tweaked, everything else. At some point, you have to be healthy. There was no play. And while I stick to Benedict Mathurin's play being a foul, I went back and found the Evan Mobley play where he was undercut by Miles Turner. I would have said that was a foul. There was no play that was so damning that it was Kelly Olynyk against Kevin Love, where you're like, oh, disgusting, egregious. Of course, Kevin ends up hurt from that. Like, no, there's a couple of plays where you see guys tweak things or run into minor injuries. If Evan Mobley was good enough to play out last night's game, if DeAndre Hunter was good enough to play out last night's game, at some point I might be able to look at you and go, okay, you know, you're running off of adrenaline. Maybe you miss one. But in a series like this, if you could finish out the game from last night, you got to at least be ready for a Friday's game in Indiana. By the bare minimum, you have to be ready for that game. I just don't see how actually impactful that injury can be if you continued to play, you know, another 10 minutes of basketball on it. You clearly have a chance still to go and play through the pain, play through the injury, because you're still better off with an 80 or 70% DeAndre Hunter and Evan Mobley than you are without them on the floor. And that's the reality of the NBA playoffs. It's the same thing we talk about when we get to NFL playoffs. Nobody's 100%. Sometimes you just got to fight through it. All right, last one for the Cavs here. Danny Cunningham, you know him, Inside Shot Substack, Locked On Cavs. You can hear him around the station. Talking to Ken and Anthony this morning, and before DeAndre Hunter and Evan Mobley's injury report was released, he talked about a physical series, and he thinks the Cavs actually benefited from it more than the Pacers do.
They were, I think, a little bit frustrated, not necessarily at the amount of physicality. Like, I think they have to adjust to that, and I think they'll be fine there. And I actually do think that if the series is allowed to be played as physical as it was last night, that's something that would benefit the Cavs in the long run rather than benefit the Pacers in the long run.
And again, Danny was operating before we had official word on DeAndre Hunter having a dislocated thumb, before Evan Mobley's ankle injury was released. I would like to think the Cavs could benefit from a physical brand of basketball. But guys, in reality, I do look at this team and think they're just not that physical. This is a team that has the opportunity to be dominant defensively, at least inside the paint between Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. You have a prime opportunity to be dominant defensively, but it's not a physical brand of defense. Like, even while Evan's playing his best brand of defense, it's not physical. Talked about it when we were talking about the defensive player of the year. Evan was averaging like 2 fouls a game. That's nearly unheard of for a big man dominating the way he does on the defensive end of the ball and not putting up the fouls. Like, obviously compared to Draymond, which is like 5 fouls a game where he was nearly fouling out every single time he was on the floor. It's different than that. But yeah, I expect the foul totals to be higher. Sometimes when I talk about upping the physicality, it also means upping the foul count. And you have to play cautious at times and you have to manage your fouls correctly. But if you're using them all in the right way, then yeah, sometimes you got to commit them. Sometimes you have to make an impact and you have to do it physically where guys just don't want to keep driving the lane and getting opportunities. Too many times Tyrese Haliburton drove down the lane and didn't end up on the floor like a Donovan Mitchell or a Ty Jerome, where it felt like Cavs bodies were hitting the deck over and over again and the Pacers bodies simply were not. All right, let's talk a little Browns. Brian Howell, Daily Boulder Camera. You can hear him on Buff Zone as well. He was on with Nick and JP today and gave his prediction for a Browns quarterback competition.
My prediction for this situation is that I think Joe Flacco is the starter day one just because he's the experienced guy. From what I know, Browns fans like him from what he did a couple years ago, but that at some point Shador is going to be the guy. I believe he'll be the starter at some point in 2025 for the Browns.
Yeah, if I had to look at it, I think that I might disagree maybe slightly on where the starting quarterback is in week one, but I think that it'd be absolutely insane if we walk away from this thing and we get into the 2026 draft and have not seen Shador Sanders play. To me, that's a complete oversight. Like, yeah, you drafted the guy, you understand you got good value from him, but if you're going to draft two quarterbacks, there's no point in drafting two guys and then going, they just don't look the part in practice. Don't put them out on the field. Unless you're in a real spot to go through and actually win something, you put the guys out there. Like, if you're going to make the playoffs playing the way that you are, sure. Maybe leave it the way it is. If you start the season out slow, you might as well turn it over to the rookies and start to see something. I just don't know how you look at a guy like Shador Sanders and go, now don't get him involved. You know what? There's no chance he looks that good. Everybody else thought he looked good. Everybody else thought the tape looked pretty good. Good enough to at least be like a second round pick. Give him a shot. Worst thing that happens, well, you're bad this year. Here comes the 2026 quarterback class. It apparently includes Drew Aller for a lot of people. Talk about that and get a grip. But that'll do it for this station buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, when you look at the series or game one of this series for the Cavs, were you convinced that the Pacers just showed up? Or maybe a little bit more convinced that the Cavs just did not? 216-474-0092 on X as always at Volnick Jake, VULINEC Jake. We'll get to that here in about 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a fan. I think there's a legitimate battle and discussion to be had there, because I look at yesterday's game, and it's all sort of twofold for me. Like, I think that in any game you look at, there's always a little bit of a degree of both of these things happening. Oh, well, the Cavs didn't play as well as they should have, but the Pacers played beyond probably what they should have. But for me, I don't look at this as a game that I just go in and I go through and look at the stats and I'm like, well, the Pacers shot, you know, whatever it was, 53% from beyond the arc. And they were just hitting today and that's why they won. Like, 100% is part of the reason of why it happened. The Pacers were on fire. They could not miss. But for me, the conversations we had leading up, in which to some point I started saying it and feeling like a broken record, of like, okay, how do we play defense in this series, right? Do you give Tyrese Haliburton everything, or do you go and you try to stop Tyrese Haliburton? I looked at the defensive game plan right from the jump, and I felt like it was a problem that I couldn't necessarily pin down exactly what they were doing. It felt a lot more take away Tyrese Haliburton, let everybody else get theirs. But for me, as I go through and look at it, I told you guys, that felt to me the opposite of what the Cavs should have been doing. And it showed in this game. Like, Tyrese Haliburton still played very well. He was 9 of 15, got everything he wanted from the inside. He ended up with 22 points, which is the second highest behind Andrew Nembhard. And I thought that this game should have been, okay, if we're going to lose, it's going to be because Tyrese Haliburton goes off and drops 40. And he's just not missing tonight. And he's hitting from beyond the arc. And everything he shoots seems to go in. And at that point, you pretty much shrug your shoulders and go, all right, well, Tyrese Haliburton beat you tonight. The problem for me was that everybody else on the team was the problem. Everybody else for the Pacers were the ones that were killing you. Again, Tyrese played really well. When Andrew Nembhard's going 5 of 6 from beyond the arc, that feels like something you probably should have been taking away.
Don't even get me started about Aaron Nesmith.
Aaron Nesmith was a good 3 of 4.
It felt like he hit 10. Every time I looked up, it looked like he was...
He's a better shooter than Nembhard,
though. I know, but it's...
I mean, he hit less threes and hit at a lower percentage than Andrew Nembhard.
It seemed like he was doing way more.
I mean, he was literally 5 of 8 from the field and 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. Sorry, not 3 of 4. 4 of 6. I was looking at his free throws. But 4 of 6. Still, like, it's a good game. It's a really good game. Hey, popped 12 points off of shooting from beyond the arc. But again, like, Tyrese Haliburton shooting 2 of 6 from 3. I feel like if you leave Tyrese Haliburton, not like open, but just single covered like they did several times where like he got in isolation with Jared Allen and they were like, all right, we'll just leave this on an absolute island. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know that I'm trusting Jared Allen to go through and single-handedly cover Tyrese Haliburton. That feels wrong. But, okay, if he's hitting those, sure. If that's what he's hitting every single time, is a step-back three with a 7-footer on him, I'm living with that. I'm taking that every time that I have the opportunity to. What I'm not taking is open three opportunities from Aaron Nesmith and him being left alone and basically getting what felt like a shoot-around type shot in the middle of the second quarter. Those are the guys you're supposed to be attached to. Too many times for me, I look at the Cavs defense and saw it just felt a little lackadaisical, a little lazy. Everything that was driven, they were doubling, they were collapsing, and they left the three open. And for some teams, that does make sense. Like, if I go through, you just played a series against the Miami Heat. Against Miami, that defensive strategy is a great strategy. No, take away Tyler Hero. Make Alec Burks step into the game and hit a bunch of threes. Make Haywood Highsmith beat you from beyond the arc. When you play the Pacers It's all written in stone. These are the top two teams in a three-point shooting percentage. I don't know how you looked at a game like that, and the game plan just seemed backwards from a defensive side of the ball. It seemed completely backwards. He should just be giving Tyrese Halliburton what he wants and take away everybody else. They have capable role players. They have capable players that can shoot the basketball. Again, similarly to Boston, you take away those, you take away everybody else, you don't let them get hot. It's a lot harder for Miles Turner and Tyrese Halliburton to go and beat you than it is for, oh, now Aaron Nesmith's seen a couple go through, Andrew Nembhard's seen a couple go through, Benedict Mathurin. I continue the trend up and up of all of the guys that watched me go through. It was more than just, oh, the Pacers are being more physical. It was more than just, well, the Cavs walked away from that game with a couple of injuries. They were flawed in game one. Not only did they get out-executed, I looked at game one, and I expect Kenny to make adjustments heading to game two, but it felt like the game where Kenny got out-coached. Where Indiana had everything down that they wanted to do. They made it incredibly difficult for the Cavs to shoot from beyond the arc, where they went 9 of 38. Off-shooting night? Yeah, probably. Also good defense? Yes. The Cavs were smothered on the three-point line. Indiana had exactly what they wanted to do, figured out, executed, right where it needed to be. And the Cavs, on the other hand, were, it felt like, caught between strategies, caught between defensive schemes. They had to switch mid-game. The offense didn't take over. For me, it was so much more of the Cavs didn't show up and gave the Pacers the type of game that they wanted. They controlled the pace. They wanted to shoot the three. Yes, the Pacers came up and knocked down shots. But because in most instances in that game, it felt like the Cavs were inviting it. They were saying, oh, you want to try to beat us from three? Beat us from three. Again, wrong team to let try to do that. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Eric is in Cam's Corner. What's going on, Eric?
Jake, good evening, Matt. You know, I was watching the game. I've been watching all the playoffs, obviously, right?
Right.
And I'm not, like, hyperbolic in my thinking, but I don't really particularly care for Sam Merrill. I didn't like Sam Merrill starting in the Miami series. I'm going to be straight up with you. And I definitely don't like him starting in this series. Throughout the regular season, Kenny went with either Dean in the starting lineup or he'll go with Isaac Coral to start lineup to go with Donovan Mitchell. Just to give you some more size and comp, you know, saying on the wing. He got to go away from Sam. Sam Merrill missed three of the most wide open shots he's going to get in his entire life. And that sways momentum. He got this roster. He's going to have to go deep. If Hunter is hurt and let's say Mo can't go and we already know Garland's situation, your physical players is on the bench and Javonte Green, listen, I'm just saying, and Isaac Okoro. I know these aren't the most talented players offensively, but you got to stop people in the NBA too. And we might have to see some Craig Porter Jr. He's going to have to go a little bit deeper because Craig Porter Jr. is willing to pick up full court. You know, Isaac Okoro is willing to pick up. You're going to have to do to them what they're doing to you. And make them uncomfortable. That's the only way they're going to make them feel you is by getting a little bit, you know, containing that penetration because they swing it real good.
Yeah.
And Nesmith was wide open. And they blown past Jerome. They blown past Sam. So he's going to have to probably maybe play his defensive players. Let them get acclimated. Let them get a sweat before you pull him because he can't make a shot or two. So I'm not one to, you know, jump off the Titanic just yet. But, you know, hearing these injuries is definitely concerning. And, you know, I didn't like Ben Mathurin the way he stood over DeAndre. You know, you can call it what you want to. I know your teammate there don't think it was a foul, but he fouled my man. You know, I thought Jared Allen got fouled when he got pushed to the deck by Turner. And the referees let that go. I ain't complaining about it. It is what it is. But if you're going to call it. Don't call that ticky-tack stuff down on our end, and then our guys is getting pummeled, and you want to hold your whistle. You want to tuck your whistle. So we might have to make an adjustment in the lineup to get some tougher players out there to fight this fire with this fire. Still got Cavs. I had Cavs in five. Maybe we can still do it, but still Cavs in six, man. Go Cavs.
I appreciate the call, Eric. I don't know that like the Sam Merrill starting thing, if Sam Merrill was out there playing 27 minutes, then yeah, I'd have a problem with Sam Merrill starting. And he had a relatively, I don't know that I want to call it an off night. He was 2 of 5. Yes, he missed a couple of open threes, but he played 18 minutes. It's basically what you've been playing Sam Merrill for the entirety of the season, for the entirety of the playoffs. It's like, yeah, you get him in there, try to knock down a couple of threes. Does he match up great by a 1-to-1 standard? No, but I think the Cavs were clearly trying to get a little offense going that just never really found its stride. You still went out and you played Ty Jerome 30 minutes. You played DeAndre Hunter 30 minutes. And again, Sam walked away with 18. I don't have a problem with him in the starting lineup. It's just you got to find a way to start the game hotter. You have to find a way to not get pummeled in the first quarter and then be fighting off the back foot the entire time. Again, I sort of said my piece on the fouls. I think that Indiana starts off so much more physical than you do. It's hard to continuously blow the whistle against Indiana. And the Cavs were just weak defensively. There's adjustments to be made. They have to come out stronger. Let's go back out to the phones where our good friend from New York is on the line. Mr. Buckley. What's going on, Mr. Buckley?
How you doing? First thing, my boy back there. I have to give him some props over here. We were talking on the weekend, and some I don't know the clown that's on Sunday with Daryl, but try to say that Donovan was better than Brunson. My man decimated him with facts, and I love it. You there, man?
Yeah, I got you. Was that Dom? Your Knicks fan? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he destroyed this guy. Like nobody thinks Donovan Mitchell is a better player than Jalen Brunson, except Cavs fans. Nobody in the world thinks that. I mean, it's just a preposterous thing to even think. So am I hearing somebody on your station say that the Cavs' plan of action should be to punch Rick Carlisle?
Yeah, listen, that was one of our callers, our Ken in Brooklyn, yeah, one of our friendly regular callers. I do not sounds subscribe to that fact.
Put down the Budweiser, buddy. listen, the Cavs are getting swept. Let's just be honest here.
All right, Mr. Buck, we got to pump the brakes on that. They're not getting swept.
Why are they not getting swept? You think they're winning tomorrow?
I mean, if they come out relatively healthy, I mean, if you said Darius Evan and DeAndre.
30 minutes. Donovan played 30 minutes, missed, what was he, 1 for 11? He was gassed after 30 minutes. I love the narrative, like, all year I've been listening to Cavs fans. Oh, Tibbs runs his players into the ground. Every Knick is healthy right now. Every Knick is healthy and playing right now. The Cavs are they got 4 players out now? It's just, you have to think when you say things. Listen, you're not going to see DeAndre Hunter again in this series. That takes 6 to 8 weeks to heal a dislocated finger that had to be popped in. If you throw Darius out there, he's going to re-injure himself immediately. And what now? Evan has an ankle?
Yeah, he tweaked his ankle.
He's not playing tomorrow. So you go down 0-2, and the Pacers don't lose at home. This is a sweep, and this is going to be very embarrassing and very humbling for Cavs fans. Like, there's absolutely no way you can win this series. There's no possible way to win this series. You're going to lose tomorrow, and then the Pacers don't lose at home. They're a great home playoff team. So, condolences to the Cavs. Knicks are getting pummeled right now, by the way.
I was going to bring it up at some point that they were it was on the other side, but yes.
I was expecting a game one loss for the Knicks. We got to take one, though. We got to get this to 2-2 if we're going to be serious here. But the Cavs are getting swept. And, you know, it's not like people think I hate the Cavs. I don't hate the Cavs. They're just the Cavs fans are, like, ridiculous in the way they think. How was Evan Mobley defensively yesterday?
He was so-so. Terrible. I don't think he was terrible.
Terrible.
I think the entire Cavs defense was lackluster yesterday.
Him holding Wemby's award is the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life. Like, the Cavs fans will live off that for 5 years, too. He won Defensive Player of the Year. He's not the Defensive Player of the Year. Listen, I like Evan Mobley. I think he's a good player. But, like, the way Cavs fans talk about him, like, oh, he's going to be one of the 5 best players in the league. He averages 18 points a game, and he's below Franz Wagner on the basketball scale here. So, listen, I feel bad for Donovan because he's probably going to get injured tomorrow too. He's laboring. Doesn't he have an injury too?
They said something along the lines of, like, he was sort of banged up, but they expect him to be completely fine and be a go.
No, I heard that if it was a regular season, he'd be out for a couple weeks.
I didn't hear a couple of weeks. I've heard that within the next day he might not play if it was a regular season. Like, he might sit a game out. But I did not hear a couple of weeks now.
Tomorrow's going to be ugly. You know, I hate to say it, but it's going to be ugly. Season's over. And this is a big choke job for a number one. Like, you know, what is it, 65 wins? This is the – was the Hawks team? What year was that Hawks team that went 66 games?
Was that 2014?
This is the Cavs all over again. Yeah, I don't like the Pacers, believe me, but they're a good team, and they played a flawless game, and they're going to do it again. I mean, they're well-coached, they're healthy, they're tough, they can shoot, they can run. Your team cannot run now. You're going to get smoked. So condolences to your sweep.
I'll be expecting a call after a Cavs, the first Cavs win, if it's game three.
Well, I'll call you next week.
All right.
We'll see.
I'll be looking forward to it.
Cap season won't be over by then, though, but we'll have a nice chat. Have a good one, my man.
You too, Mr. Buckley. Well, I vehemently disagree with everything that came out of his mouth just about, but that's okay. It's all right. Knicks fan, you let him roll for a little bit. Listen, the Cavs are not getting swept in the series. It's not happening. Do I need to think back to when Indiana was playing for a playoff spot and nearly got upset? Do I need to think back to the Cavs in the regular season, taking a game in Indiana, winning a game against the Pacers last year losing to the Celtics in Indiana.
The Bucks beat the Pacers in Indiana.
Right. Like, hey, they lose at home. They lose at home. It happens. Again, you got to get at least somewhat healthy for tomorrow. I got to see probably two out of the three play. I wouldn't even be ruling them out if you don't get there. Cavs have adjustments to make, no doubt about it, but I'm looking for them to actually make them. 216-474-0092. More of an issue for you yesterday, the offensive side of the ball for the Cavs or the defensive side of the ball. We'll get to that here in 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick. With the guys.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a fan. More of an issue for you for game one, Cavs offense or Cavs defense? And honestly, it's going to very well go either way. Because in my opinion, despite you going in and actually taking the lead late in the game, heavily off the back of Donovan Mitchell, you could really go either way. You could pick either one, and I'm not going to look at you as crazy. Because I was watching last night, and from going and watching a Miami series, which I understand is a much worse team, is a team that you should have dominated, and I have the pure respect for the Pacers to make this a much more difficult series. You just completely got thrown out of your brand of basketball. You were not playing a Cavs brand basketball all of last night on both ends of the ball. I mean, I think it started alone with the pace of play. Don't get me wrong, the Cavs can move up and down the floor in transition. And I don't know that there's anybody better right now, though, in transition than the Pacers left in these playoffs. I'm pretty confident in saying the Pacers are the number one team in getting out and running that's left right now. they just like to keep the pace of play and the tempo high. And sure, if they want to do that on their offensive possessions, your job is to try to nullify it, slow it down, make the toughs that they're taking, the shots that they're taking in transition tough, off balance, out of control. Defensively, there's only so much you can do to control it. Offensively, you have everything at your disposal. You have complete ability to slow down the game. And the Cavs like to score off of turnovers. They like to run in transition when they get a turnover. But you don't have to push the ball up the floor when you inbound from the baseline. You don't have to sprint up the floor. Quick little reminder to Ty Jerome that you do have to get it up the floor within a quick little 8-second count. But you don't have to sprint up the floor on most of your possessions. And it felt like the Cavs, for a majority of that game, were getting out and running every chance they got. That's what Indiana wants you to do. It's exactly what they want to bait you into doing, playing faster than you're usually going. And it felt like the Cavs just bit on it on both sides of the ball. They were completely content in running up and down the floor. And again, it's just not your game. You pick your moments, you pick your spots, but the Cavs game is not get out and run in transition every single time down the floor. You're set up your offense, swing the ball, you know, drive, kick out, get your three-point shooters a couple of looks. And if not, all right, well, yeah, Donovan can go to work. Ty can go to work. The thing that stood out to me more, though, if we're talking offense versus defense, like the defensive side of the ball to me just stuck out from the very beginning all the way through. Again, I think there was a different defensive philosophy than what I was expecting, which is don't let anybody else shoot. They let everybody, and maybe their mother, their father, little brothers and sisters, get out there and shoot from three. But at the same time, like if you're going up against one of the top three-point shooting teams, naturally, if Evan Mobley's supposed to be on somebody in the corner, yeah, you're a great defender down low. I also can't have you crashed into the paint to stop Tyrese Halliburton from going for a layup. Like, at times you have to allow the two to come through. Like, if he's going to go and make a contested layup, have to drive the lane, work, Euro, fade away, bank it off of the glass, okay, go in, put in the extra work. Actually have to commit to putting in a lot of work on the offensive side to go for two. When you get to drive, not have to do any of those moves, and then just dish out to an open three-point shooter, you unlock their entire offense. So now you've opened up Tyrese Halliburton on top of it, where you give him the opportunity to, okay, well, now he can pick. Does he want to go for a tough layup? Does he want to consistently go for that? Or does he want to kick out to the open guy, and he keeps you guessing? The best thing that he does, it's truly what makes him the player that he is his versatility once he gets downhill. And again, I feel like you unlocked it. You crashed on everything. You were lazy in transition. There were too many things that defensively I was staring at all game long, going and just putting my palms into the air and asking what on earth you're doing. Because I'm watching three defenders in the paint with four Pacers players on the three-point line. You just can't do it. Not against the three-point shooting ability. But again, if you wanted to look at me and say, no, Jake, the offense is the problem. Yeah, that makes sense too. The entire second half, I don't know that you ran three set plays. And I mean set plays. I'm talking JB Bickerstaff level set plays. Hey, Jarrett, come on up here. Set a screen. All right, Donovan, come off the screen. Do whatever you want. It was just give Donovan the ball, back up a couple of steps, dribble, everybody clear out, and give Donovan a lane to the basket. Give Ty a lane to the basket. In which, you know, then the Pacers started to collapse. The Cavs didn't have the shooting night the Pacers have. The Cavs weren't getting the open looks that the Pacers were getting all night long. It wasn't the same level of consistency on the offensive side that you wanted either. It's why I look at the Cavs and say you have so much to clean up. Some of it, I think, was game planning. A lot of it, I think, was probably execution and what the Cavs actually wanted to accomplish. It was just lazy, though. It was downright, they were trying to play hero ball down the stretch. And again, at times, at different moments, I'm okay if Donovan Mitchell wants to try to play hero ball. Sometimes, especially in the playoffs, I need that. I need a guy that can take over the game And Donovan did that in the third quarter. But it can't be like that for the third quarter and then going into the fourth quarter. I can't rely on Donovan to drive the lane for a whole half of basketball. They're going to make adjustments. Donovan's going to tire out, which is why, like, Mr. Buckley's like, oh, he played 30 minutes and he was gassed. It wasn't just the fact that Donovan Mitchell was on the floor for 34 minutes, by the way. Wasn't just the fact that he was on the floor for 34 minutes. It's for a large portion of those, he had the ball in his hand and he was trying to make everything happen. It really felt like Donovan thought he had to go into takeover mode, which again, third quarter he did. But it felt like the entire game he felt he had to go into takeover mode. I think that's very evident by the fact that he launched 11 threes while not finding them to go through the basket. He continued to hammer it over and over and over again. And it felt like out of desperation, out of need. The Cavs have to make adjustments. If you got three guys sitting out, it's going to be hard to make those adjustments and make them effective, especially when you're missing two of your top defensive players and pretty good offensive players in Mobley and DeAndre Hunter. I still think the Cavs can probably take this down at six if they get relatively healthy, but I am interested in sort of what the confidence level is. I want to go around the room. We'll start with Jax. You were at game one, Jax. You felt the air in the arena probably get sucked away towards the end of the game. Confidence level, does it waver after watching that and plus the injury news today?
Knowing that I won't be in attendance, we're going to win the series.
You feel that you're a true jinx.
Yeah. But I'm like 90% confident they're still going to win this series.
I mean, if you're the jinx of basketball, Anthony's the jinx of betting. I don't want to find out what I'm the jinx of. I'm maybe bad radio. Maybe I'm the jinx of radio. We're doing bad shows out here. Maybe that's my bad thing. But I don't want to find out. I mean, you guys each got your jinx now. Let's just say you guys keep the jinx outside of the actual studio and keep them in your little compartments elsewhere. I think we'll be okay. For somebody who is completely down in the dumps, by the way, hey, you've not been feeling it. I feel like from the game yesterday.
This is... Everybody's saying that. I'm completely fine.
Well, one,
I was very sad last night, yes.
Yes.
But
that was evident.
I'm good now. Like, I'm not worried about tomorrow at all. They're going to be okay.
Okay. All right. I'll live with it. Anthony, do we have confidence left in the series?
I do, but it went way, way down today.
Why today? Just from the injuries?
Yeah. Like, I think my confidence maybe went down to like a 7 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10 after last night. But yeah, teams are going to drop games. It's the second round of the playoffs. These are all good teams. The injury report, and if we're going to be in a situation where players are missing games and maybe Darius comes back tomorrow, but then there's no DeAndre Hunter and Evan Mobley, and then Mobley's out for three games. Like, getting into that little game, that's what is really starting to concern me about this series.
Yeah, and I think it's a fair takeaway. Like, I definitely, from where I was in a tough series looking at this going, Cavs in six, they'll give you trouble, but you're winning. I'll stick to Cavs in six, but you're going to have to get healthy. You have to. You can't be where you're at right now. All right, when we come on back, Get a Grip going to be coming your way here at 9 o'clock. We're talking to Cameron Justice at 9:20, News Channel 5. Talk a little Browns here. It's all coming up on the back half of Overtime with Jake Malnick, with you guys on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.